Heavenly Father, we thank you for these glorious days. Father, we thank you that with each passing day, we're gaining a deeper reverence of you, of your plan for the glorious church. We praise you for that, Father. And Father, I just ask that the spirit of wisdom and revelation be found resting heavily on every word spoken forth tonight, so that your people, so that we all might be enlightened as to the deepest thoughts and intentions of your heart in this critical hour. And we praise you for that, Father, and call it done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to continue on with talking about defining the fear of the Lord, and may ultimately get on to talking about the negative aspect of fear. But I began last time talking about the reverence of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord. It's very, very critical. And we looked at some scriptures. I'm going to do a bit of review. You can turn over to Psalm 91. I won't be there for a while, but we're going to do a bit of review. And it's extremely important in this hour for every one of God's people to come into a deeper revelation of covenant. And the way that you do that is to draw close to God daily and begin to get a revelation of all that was accomplished at Calvary for us. These things are very important. We've talked about them for years and years in the body of Christ. But now God's people are going to be called to a position of accountability before God, and they're going to be called accountable according to the degree of faith that they've exercised or not exercised. And really, quite simply put, the degree of faith that one exercises will place that person where they are, inside or outside the covenant of God. And these are very dangerous times, much more dangerous than they even look right now. We have, in the position we're in, we have the distinct advantage of coming to a place of close relationship with God. We are fighting a different battle. We have different distractions and so on. Our lives are not in danger daily in that sense. But the fact is that this is one of the most difficult places on the earth to live, the North American continent, because we have so much prosperity. We have so many things available to us. And unfortunately, some of those make a person's life easier if they choose to go that route. So in the face of that, we still need to be a people who walk by faith and who draw closer to God with each passing day. And regardless of where the Christian is in this hour, they will be called to a place of absolute faith. And in that from that place of absolute faith, they will be established in righteousness. They will be established in the perfect spiritual environment and positioning for them to do their part. And this is without exception. This isn't something that we ourselves will have to judge. Everything will fall into place. Everything that happens will be done according to the believing of the person. That's will establish them. There won't be any arguing. There won't be any people saying they're in God's will when they're not. When this thing comes down, that which is of faith will be on one side and that which is in fear will be on the other, regardless of who they are. Very, very important. So we need to come into an understanding of this importance, and we need to realize again that we are going to have to be a people who have a revelation of the fullness of our covenant in Christ. The fullness. That's every aspect of life. Is covered under that. And we're going to need that, regardless of what things look like now. And we can do so, in other words, get a revelation of that, and be a people who walk above fear. And so I'm going to go on to talk a bit more. I'm going to review a couple of scriptures from the last time, so we can get this picture painted in our hearts. Because, like we said before, God says what he means, and he means what he says. So when we are able to take the word into our heart and allow it to enter in there, then that light will continually expand and empower us to come to know him better and to empower us to overcome in all things. One of the first scriptures I looked at was Isaiah 8 in the Amplified. I'll just read part of that. It says, "The Lord of hosts, regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety." In other words, acknowledging only him in all things. The Bible says that if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, then he will direct our paths. We need to be a people who are directed by the Holy Spirit in this last hour, regardless of what things look like. One thing that's happened, particularly in our part of the world, is that Satan has gone to a lot of trouble to establish strongholds and mindsets in the lives of some of God's children concerning this false safety or this false peace or this false security of some sort. And consequently, there's a lot of God's children walking around outside or strangers to the covenants of promise. And although things look fine right now, whatever they've held to in fear will be exposed, and the thing that looks safe to them will no longer be safe. Whereas the people of God who are abiding in Revelation, regardless of what it looks like now, in a time of testing, in a time of refining, in a time of attack by the enemy, they will rise above, ultimately, into that place of walking nonstop supernaturally in the presence of God from here until the end of this age or this dispensation. That's very important. God is teaching us to be a people who are not moved by what we see or feel or hear or think. And whatever that takes for us to learn that, then that's what it takes. We don't know. We don't know the depths of the corruption of the old nature, but at the same time, we are learning, as we're discarding that, to come into a revelation of the depths of the heart of God and His great love for us. And as we, again, come to a revelation of that, then these other things will fall off of us. So it really is a time to rejoice in all things. We don't rejoice in the attack of the enemy. We rejoice in the provision that God has made for us to overcome perfectly. And not only just overcome, but to come out the other side in a far higher and better place than we were spiritually before that. These are the realities of faith. But if people don't exercise faith, they never come to the position of knowing these things. It's always still a matter in a critical time of trying to forge their own way, trying to create their own security, trying to get by in their own strength. It won't work in this last hour. These are the times when every true child of God must choose life. Every moment of every day, whatever that may mean or however that may manifest. So continuing on, it says, "And let him be your fear and let him be your dread, lest you offend him by your fear of man." So from there we understand that the fear of man offends God. Why? Because if we fear man, we don't fear God. It's that simple. You can't fear both. And he considers that, it says, lest you offend him by your fear of man and distrust of him. Because again, the fear of man leads to trusting in man and man's ways and allows a spirit of idolatry, a wide open door, to both control and influence one. And that's not what we want. We have one influence, one controller, and that's the Holy Spirit. Again, I've noticed lately there's a real escalation and cry in the hearts of God's people who are truly seeking Him for a revelation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is an all-encompassing ministry. There's not anything that doesn't fall under that ministry. And we need to be a people who are totally reliant upon the Holy Spirit in all things, because it's the Father's will for us to be possessed by Him. Possessed. You know, everybody talks about demon possession. How much more than the Holy Spirit possessing us and the ability of God to do that in us? We look briefly. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish that. "And he shall be for a sanctuary, a sacred and indestructible asylum to those who reverently fear and trust in him." We are going to need a revelation of the fact that he is a sacred and indestructible asylum. What that means to us is, because we know Satan's the destroyer, is that where God places us and where he keeps us, and we're going to look at Psalm 91 later and deal a bit more with that, where he keeps us is a place the devil can't enter in. It's indestructible. Destruction cannot enter in there. And this encompasses, again, every aspect of our lives and ministries in Christ. We looked at the fact that the Hebrew word yare is the word that means fear, to respect, to revere, to love God with all your heart. And the word pashad means, is the word, the negative aspect of that, which is to be in dread of, to be in cowardice, and to have that negative fear in our lives. And we talked a bit about the fact that when one leans upon their own understanding, it produces false security. You know, the devil will whisper a lie to us. We will take that if we're not in right fellowship with God. We'll act on that thinking that it's wisdom. It is not wisdom of the wisdom of God. It is worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom translates into darkness, regardless of how good it looks or how quickly it might get one by initially, whereas divine wisdom always translates into light and a deeper knowledge of God himself not to mention the fact that God gives us the perfect wisdom so that we can carry out all things with a pinpoint accuracy. And that is very key in this hour, because that's God's character. This isn't something we have to come up with. If we abide in Christ, we will walk in pinpoint accuracy, whether it's the words we speak or whatever actions we take. Very, very important. If the glorious church is going to be a glorious church, then it will be a church without sin and without fear. And it will be a church that walks in perfect accuracy in all things. And because of that, because people's hearts are prepared, and because they're doing that, there will be the greatest release of God's power this earth has ever been able to see before. And so this, again, the glorious church will cause many things to happen, not the least of which the world will be turned upside down. We haven't seen anything yet. We're about to see that. Fear causes one to lean upon their own understanding. Faith causes one to seek the counsel of God, the wisdom of God at all costs to themselves. When people spend time in right fellowship with God, when they walk the walk of faith, they will come to the place where they see the futility of the flesh. I mean, as a revelation. We need to be a people who abide in that place. Because it doesn't matter what decision you have to make, what comes across your path, regardless of how much you want to get the pressure off you, you will have a burning revelation of the futility of the flesh, the futility of leaning upon your own understanding, and then you will seek the wisdom of God at all costs to yourselves. We will need the wisdom of God in this last hour, not only to survive, but also to overcome in all things pertaining to the holy purpose of God and to fulfill the holy purpose of God. Very important. There is much wisdom, quote unquote, out there that has passed for the wisdom of God. It is not the wisdom of God. Certainly, those people who are walking with God and truly seeking first the kingdom have a revelation and are able to see the conflict of worldly wisdom and its motivation, which is selfishness, and the wisdom of God. But in a more subtle type of attack, the enemy has, because some people have not given their heart wholly to God, because they have maintained some element of seeking after self-glory, error has subtly crept in. Error should not subtly be able to creep in anywhere where the children of God are involved. I'm not talking about making mistakes. I'm talking about willful rebellion continually acted upon. Its root is fear, but if you continually act in fear and do not put yourself in a position to allow the Spirit of God, the spirit of love, to cast out all fear, then that rebellion will take root. And believe me, these people do not realize they're in error. And they're certainly going to feel that we're in error, at least those who are seeking God, those who are walking in the third day. But the deciding factor will be the power of God operating through those who are truly seeking him. It'll be much like in a type and symbol, the story of Elijah against the false prophets of Baal. And it will be that dramatic. Also, our job is to be ready, and we stay ready, and we remain in that place of abiding with that daily fellowship with God. We talked a bit about the fact that, and these are the realities, if we don't reverence God, then we're operating in that negative fear, exercising the negative force of fear. It actually is a perverted worship of the devil and his lies. And how many people are there walking along in fear, getting by, and allowing the devil to control them? But that's going to come to an end. If they have a heart to be free, they will be free in this last hour. But if people do not exercise their faith and do not move towards God in a spirit of reverence in this last hour, they will be held to a degree by a spirit of rebellion, the very spirit that God is coming to judge first in the midst of his people in a very powerful way. Yeah, we're going to do some teaching on that in the future. But Korah's rebellion, again, is a perfect type and symbol. And Korah's rebellion was against the revelation of holiness coming forth. And not only will a revelation of holiness come forth from the pulpit, but the world will see a revelation of God's holiness through his people who are abiding in Christ. That's very important. And it will expose all things. We talked a bit about the fact that the heart, we don't need to have a fear, rather, that of doing the will of God, of knowing the will of God, if we're truly willing to do all of his will. If we're willing to be made to be willing, we can pray that prayer, and we know that if we will entrust our heart to God, that he will fill our heart with his desires And again, we will come to know him. And so his desires aren't some strange, far-off thing from our thinking, but they'll be things that are, that just naturally flow within us, and we'll be able to see the wisdom of God, the heart of God, the love of God in all that we do and say. And we don't want to be those who are exercising fear, because it causes a lot of negative things to happen. Whereas when we exercise faith working through a perfect love, then we know that we can be a vessel of God's greatest eternal benefit to all those who cross our path. And that's what we're here for, to love and to obey. And then we talked in 2 Timothy about the fact that it says all those who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That, again, going back to the fear of man. We cannot have a fear of man, otherwise we will be overcome by this attack of persecution in whatever form it comes. And it will come. But it's time to rejoice. I mean, I've heard it said many times here. We need to be a people who learn to enjoy the battle, not look at it as some sort of imposition from our comfortability. Because that's the type of weakness that the children of God ought not show. It's also the type of weakness that will cause them to be casualties in this last hour, whatever that may mean. Again, a word God gave me, he said, casualness produces casualties. We need to be a people who are diligent in all those things, and we will rise far above that. You know, we quote that scripture, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Boy, we need to believe that, because it's absolutely true. It gets a little tiring sometimes when you see and hear things out there. People are paying more attention to the devil than they are to God. And that ought not be. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We looked at the scripture in Proverbs 9:10, which says, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we do not revere God, we do not have wisdom at all. Regardless of how much wisdom we may think we have, if we do not remain consistent in our reverence of God, in our drawing near to him, we do not have divine wisdom. And there's much out there, again, that passes for divine wisdom in the midst of God's people, which is not. But that, again, as I said, as the fire of God is released in continually greater degrees in this last hour, all things will be exposed. Our job is to be filled with the fire. Our job is to obey. Everything will be exposed. One thing about the glorious church, we need not take things upon ourselves. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and wherever he leads us, each of us individually and corporately, the job will get done, and it will get done perfectly. And it always, again, when you're talking about the heart of God, it's always with a review, to delivering the people of God and to bringing them into a revelation of the fullness of his salvation. It's not, we're going to go out there and get those guys because they've been serving the devil. No. This people are going to have an opportunity to see and to know God as he is. And what choice they make after that will be a clear and absolute decision. And that will determine, in some cases, their place in the church, in some cases, their eternal positioning. But regardless, everybody in the walk in the face of this earth will be brought to a point of absolute decision. Some have already made that decision. I mean, I consider us a people who have made the decision to absolutely serve God, and we're not going to depart from that. And some have made the decision out there to operate under a spirit of Antichrist and to serve darkness, and even though they've had many opportunities. And so they'll run further into rebellion, those people. But vast multitudes will come in to that place of knowing God intimately and entering into the fullness of God's plan for their life. You know, there's no need to put a number on it. The fact is, there's only two kinds of people in this earth right now, whether they're born again or not born again. There are those who have a seed of reverence in their heart for God. They know there's a God. They may not know who it is right now. And then there's a people who don't. And that can even go into some of the children of God at this time. But either way, when the glorious church comes on the scene in the fullness of her glory, every person will be brought to the point of decision, and everything will be sorted out perfectly by the power of the Holy Spirit. We just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and obey him. Again, put ourselves in the position to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and then do what he says. Very, very simple in this last hour. To enter into rest, having ceased striving from our own thing, our own works. Okay, so the reverent and worshipful fear is the beginning of wisdom. That's where all things begin for us who truly love God. So we need to maintain that. True covenant relationship with the Father and His Word continually produces the peace that passes all understanding and the love that surpasses all knowledge. I'll say it again in this last hour. Every element of false peace will be exposed in the children of God. If there is false peace, it will be shaken. Whatever can be shaken will be shaken, and it, just by the pure love of God to wake people up. And then the ultimate thing being for them to enter into true covenant relationship. So the true peace, regardless of circumstances, the true peace is continually produced in that heart. And they come to a deeper revelation of the love that surpasses all knowledge. Very important, because regardless of what happens to us in any given moment between now and the time we leave here, His grace is sufficient, more than sufficient in every way. Proverbs 14, 26, 27 in the Amplified says, "In the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is strong confidence." Again, one of the images that the Holy Spirit wants to paint in our hearts is the fact that as we walk in the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, many things begin to spontaneously manifest. And we looked at some of the scriptures last time. And in this case, it says there's a strong confidence that's produced. That denotes an unshakable trust and security. Again, we talked about the scripture in Isaiah that our God is an indestructible asylum, that place of reverent and worshipful fear of Him that it produces. And so, again, this denotes an unshakable trust and security. And believe me, that's what we need in this last hour, because from that place, regardless of what we're called to confront or be confronted with, we will overcome gloriously. And you know, this is something, it's a very simple thing, but it's something that each one of us really has to know very clearly. Whenever the devil attacks, whenever God is dealing with us, regardless of what happens, if we will walk through that in faith, we will come up to a higher place every time. Sometimes things take longer, sometimes things happen rapidly, but if we take the steps in faith and obedience, we will come out ahead. That's really why Paul was writing, "Rejoice always." Again, I say rejoice in the tribulations, whatever comes our way, because that's God. God cannot touch something without causing us to prosper. He can't. It's His nature. And even in the midst of vile accusations or persecutions of any kind, as we go through that in faith and love, as we make that choice to revere Him through walking in faith, walking in love, walking in obedience at all costs to ourselves, we will come to a higher place. And we're going to see that radically in this hour. All the things we've gone through throughout the years are all being brought together, brought to a finish. Bill talked about the polishing going on in the hearts of those who truly love God. Polishing is not a bad thing. That's the final touch before the thing reaches its greatest beauty. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the church. So we're very, very close. And this is really a time, and I would encourage everybody, regardless of what you're going through, hold fast the revelation that you have. You will gain the necessary revelation to make it through, but again, you'll come out way ahead, and you'll look back every time, and you'll recognize the wisdom of God and the perfection of God in His dealings with us. It's just, He's perfect. And there's no way you can truly serve God and come to know Him and love Him and not see His perfection in our case. And of course, He encourages us in Hebrews, knowing that His discipline is for our greatest good, always, always. Very, very important. These are simple things, and they're in the Bible. We have to be a people who believe them and actually have that faith activated in such a way that when we're bringing every thought captive to the Word of God, it will just cause us to see the reality of God's Word rather than the distractions or whatever the devil's trying to do. He's just a con artist, that's all. And if we allow ourselves to drop down into that position spiritually where we're looking at the things below instead of the things above, then his lies are going to seem more real than the Word of God. But if we put the Word of God first, that will seem more real. That's true security. That's divine security. That's the place where the peace that passes all understanding is abiding in us. That's where the Spirit of glory rests upon us. You know, Peter said, you know, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, not talking about unrighteousness' sake, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, then the Spirit of glory will rest upon you. Well, if we're going to be a glorious church, then that tells me two things. One, we're going to have the Spirit of glory resting on us. And two, there is going to be resistance. There is going, because the spirit of rebellion, the one thing it likes to do is hold to its own, and it will do anything to justify itself. But in the process, now the fire of God will go forth, and that rebellion will be exposed, and the entire land will see it. Okay, Psalm 91, great psalm. Maybe the, well, certainly a very important foundational scripture in every Christian's life who truly loves God, because it's only those who truly love God, those who have a desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, that will be persecuted. There are many people out there that are so surrounded by vast numbers of people who are in agreement with them, and they're all wrong. And so why would the devil wake up the sleeping dog? But all those who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, they will have a revelation of this scripture, because it is a very, very important scripture. So let's take a look at it. Actually, it's interesting here. It says, a little liner note in the top, it says, the security of the one who trusts in the Lord. Very important. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So in other words, if we make our dwelling place, if we desire intimacy with God, we make that our dwelling place, we will abide in the very shadow of God. Meditate on that for a while. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Now, when the psalmist says that, and especially in the Hebrew is a wonderful language. I don't know much about Hebrew as far as that, but I do know I can read a concordance and I can understand. It's a language like no other. It's a language that God gave them. And literally pictures explode off the words and form images in the heart. So when the psalmist says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, it is referring to his very existence exudes that. It puts that revelation forth. In other words, when people look at that person, they'll know that God is his refuge. They'll know that it's God that he trusts. And that's the way we should be as Christians. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. But it's not just a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle of God being our refuge, being our fortress, and us trusting him with all our heart. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. I mean, this, his faithfulness, there's a teaching in itself. See, God is perfect. He is perfectly faithful in all things. Why do we trust in things apart from God when he's the only one that's perfect? That's a good question each one of us have to answer. No, his faithfulness is a shield. His faithfulness is our protection. Just to know that he's faithful is an amazing thing. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says that he's faithful to finish the work that he's begun in us. God is faithful to finish the work. We don't need to be finishing the work. We need to obey him. And we need to walk with him in fear and trembling. That's not the negative fear and trembling. That's reverential fear and awe. And that's a product of his great love. It's an amazing thing, the love of God and the faithfulness of God. And he will show himself faithful to each one of us as we diligently pursue him and seek first the kingdom with all of our heart. Verse 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. We're going to see that. We're going to see some people fall in this last hour, some harder than others. But we'll not be moved by it. Why? Because for us to be moved by something that the devil's doing means that we have departed from a place of being a vessel of God's greatest eternal benefit and salvation to those who cross our path. And so it's only selfishness and fear that could take us out of a place. We need to keep on moving. But it will not touch us, and we'll keep moving. And regardless of what the devil does, God will outdo him in this last hour. For everyone that falls, there will be many that gloriously rise out of the depths of darkness into the fullness of God's purpose. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Part of that has to do with our positioning. If we are in a position, there are certain positions in the presence of God, for instance, the devil. We need to be a people who are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. spiritually speaking. I mean, as a burning revelation, because the devil cannot approach that. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you. When I read that scripture today, I just had a little vision of a person walking under a wall and somebody dropping a big rock off the wall. That is befalling them. So we're talking about something that's doing a little more damage than just something overtaking. It's something that befalls them. But if you're above the place where the devil is, then nothing can befall you. And indeed, you can rain down on the devil and befall some things on him. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Again, a matter of position or dwelling place is what that literally means. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. This is the Lord talking. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. Now, in the Hebrew, when it talks about knowing his name, we all know that many names of God that he released through his prophets in the Old Testament, because he was painting a picture of the totality of his character. And so consequently, when we know his name, it means we know his character and all the attributes that name exudes. That's very, very important. Again, we have to think about the absoluteness of God. We have to think about the totality of his character. He's awesome. And we'll spend eternity continually learning him to a deeper degree, or learning more about him to a deeper degree. Verse 15, he will call upon me and I will answer him. You want to know how to hear God? Call upon him. If you don't acknowledge God, don't expect to hear from him. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Very, very important. He gave me a word one time. He was talking about honor. And he said, my people honor me with their presence. In other words, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, we will come into his presence. And then he turned around and he said, and I honor my people with my presence. And so that's something that's very, very important for us, because we're going forth to represent him as he is, and so that people might see his great love. And again, I've said this before, but love is the greatest force in this universe, and it will continue to be. And so as we're filled with the love of God to overflowing, then we will, again, cause the greatest eternal benefit of God to come into the people's lives who cross our path, who are brought across our path. As the child of God takes their refuge in the Heavenly Father, they will soon find that they are in a place where no evil can do them any lasting harm. Now this is, again, in light of us fulfilling the will of God for our life and ministry, whatever that means to us individually and corporately in the glorious church. This place of refuge is a continual shelter from the storms of life, and regardless of what the evil one attempts against us, he will always fall far short of his intended goal. It is in this place where one will truly begin to appreciate the faithfulness of the Heavenly Father and the tenderness of his loving kindnesses towards us. It is in these deeper areas of our relationship with the Father that we will see and experience the tenderness and affection which he is able to shower upon those of his children who will draw near to him. The Bible says it's only faith that pleases God. One of my great prayers in this hour for myself and for all those who truly love God is that we might have a heart that just simply seeks to please him. You know, that cuts out all the junk on the outside. It cuts out all the thought of ministry. It cuts out all the thought of anything apart from him. Because to be quite honest with you, where we're going, it's only going to be that reverence and that love, that pure love of God towards him in our heart that's going to be able to sustain us. But see, that's not the only thing, because yeah, we do have a job to do. But see, now we have this glorious opportunity to love God with all our heart. You know, it's not going to be hard to love God in heaven. But what about now when there's a choice here and a choice there and a choice everywhere? Are we going to love him? Are we going to walk in obedience in the face of everything coming against us? Are we going to acknowledge him in all our ways? This is a glorious time. And we have this pure and unadulterated opportunity to love God. And it won't pass that way again. Because this thing is going to last very long. Once it gets going, in regards to how much time we have left, it doesn't make any difference. Because we're going to be walking nonstop supernaturally. And we're going to accomplish everything that God called the church to accomplish in our remaining time in this earth. Whatever that is, it's far beyond sitting down and writing a book about it. You can start talking about a few things and you just get lost in the glory. Gloriousness of it. He loves each one of his children, but some will not allow themselves to draw near to him because of the fear that is in them, or the fear that's been maintained in them. It is a very deadly thing, fear. Very deadly thing. Because it will cause people to be moved to a position outside the shadow of the Almighty, outside the fullness of our covenant protection in Christ. And that is a dangerous place to be, because the enemy is going to be put to flight very shortly. He's going to strike at anything he possibly can. And he will strike at those who potentially hold the most danger for him. And that would be people who have tasted a revelation of the ages to come, the power of the kingdom, but who have moved apart from that. They are in the most dangerous position on the face of this earth right now. So, but again, God's grace is upon the lives of each one of his children. And the fact is, and his mercy remains as long as there's a seed of repentance in that one. But ultimately, each child of God walking the face of the earth will, because of their faith and trust in God, be in that place of refuge, that true place of refuge, or they will be in a place where they will be open to the attacks of the enemy. But there are some things to happen before this thing escalates to that degree. Our job is, again, to just remain ready to be filled with the presence of God. So they won't draw. If people maintain fear, they maintain rebellion, that which is, again, maintained fear, they will not be in a position where they will draw near to God. This fear is caused by willful sin or rebellion, which they continue to retain in their lives, refusing in their fear and blindness, and that's exactly what maintained sin or maintained fear causes, a deeper darkness, a deeper fear, and leading to blindness, spiritual blindness. So they are in a position where they refuse to resist temptation and every scheme of the evil one. Thus, when the manifested presence of God comes near to them, they cower before him in fear, running from him instead of to him. And that's one manifestation of the glorious church we're going to see. I've seen glimpses of it in the past. When the third day anointing is poured forth, people will either draw closer to God immediately or they will run from him immediately. There is how the separation, the final separation in the midst of God's people between the remnant and those who are unfaithful to God will happen, right there. I've seen it, and it's very clear, and it's very, very powerful. Proverbs 15:33 in the Amplified says, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord brings instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor." Again, another manifestation of the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is that it brings a continued instruction in wisdom, continued instruction in the ways of God, a continually deeper revelation of the heart of the Father in all things. And of course, it produces humility. It produces a deep dependence upon God, which allows the presence of God to come in and dwell freely in our midst, individually, in our time, but also corporately. And again, it's really not hard to see how the glorious church is going to come into manifestation. But again, the requirements are absolute. They always have been, they always will be. And so God is leading us on a glorious path to the fulfillment of all that he's spoken concerning the glorious church. It takes an act of humbling ourselves, or it takes an act of trust in God before the Lord in order to be taught by his Spirit. Now there's a key aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. He will use anointed servants of God to expand and to plant seeds and to confirm things that have been. But if people don't come into that place of fellowship with God, it will go right over their head. It will open the door to different, we talked about the deaf and dumb spirit tonight. It will open the door to certain spirits that will cause the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be pushed aside in the life of that person. That is a dangerous thing, because if you're not taught by the Holy Spirit, you're taught by the devil. There isn't anybody else to teach you. All man is doing is just propagating his lies and perpetuating his lies, but there it's the devil that's at the root. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. If one does not continually put aside their own understanding in all things, we talked about that before, they will surely be found in a place outside the will of God for their life and ministry, without exception in this hour. Without exception. We ought to be a people by now that know the difference between leaning upon God with everything we have and leaning upon our own understanding to get by. Fear, when we see fear, we should recognize that for exactly what it is. And just the same way that we should be abiding in that reverential fear of God. And again, to the degree that one does that, it's to that degree they'll recognize fear and darkness. It's all based on our relationship with God. And there was never any room ever in the Word of God for us to walk in anything less than an absolute love towards God. And He's surely walking in an absolute love towards us and has done so continually. There's another bad aspect to this part of the failure to humble ourselves. Many have left themselves in a position where they misrepresent the Father and His Word. You can't walk in fear and selfishness and represent God. There is no fear and no selfishness in God. These are simple things, but my goodness, you know, that's why God is doing such a deep work in all of us, so that we might represent Him perfectly in all that we say and do. And so this misrepresentation of the Father and His Word is caused by a lack of holy reverence. They have allowed inaccuracy and error, and you might as well take error and rebellion. They're synonymous. You can't get into error apart from a spirit of rebellion. It's impossible. I'm not talking about making a mistake. Oh, I thought the Word meant that. No. Error is the putting forth, the actual exercising of faith, not divine faith, but faith in the doctrines of demons, the lies of the devil. So they have allowed inaccuracy and error to creep silently into their ministry. It's not so silent to those who are walking by the Spirit, but gradually, if people maintain rebellion, they will get off in error, and they will fall in, and they'll always have a following because the devil will make sure they do. Why? Because when error is put forth, it gratifies the soul. And if people are just want the gratification of their soul, then they'll just get in their little gathering and say, oh yes, this is a wonderful man or woman of God here. And it's error. And God is just separating, gathering the wheat and the tares. Everybody's falling exactly where they choose to fall. It's not over yet, but people, we can see it. I mean, people are moving here, there, and everywhere. Boy, you don't want to be moved by anything but the Holy Spirit in this hour. Proverbs 19:23 says, the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it shall rest or sleep satisfied. He cannot be visited with actual evil. Now, you can meditate on that, but the fact is, yeah, the devil tries to do things to us and so on, but actual evil means it's the thing that's going to absolutely influence you and control your life. No, we have to resist it, everything that we've been redeemed from, and suffer for righteousness' sake to the glory of the Lord. But this actual evil will not come in and put a place. I don't care how bad it gets. If you are truly seeking God, you will not go from a place of walking or abiding in the true or divine light to darkness. It can't happen. I don't care how dark it seems around us. That can't happen. Why? Because God is faithful. God is with us. And He will always instruct us in His wisdom. And of course, if we've remained faithful to God, we will have the light of God in our heart. And that Word will continually rise up. And there's nothing greater coming from the outside. The greater one is within us and coming out. Very important. God has made the provision. God has made the provision for us to be overcomers in all things. The place of God's Word in our lives is the place God has. I believe this was written by A.B. Simpson. The same honor and respect we give to the Word of God, we give to God. We do not love God more than we love His Word. We do not honor God more than we honor His Word. We do not obey God more than we obey His Word. And this, I'm talking about a revelation of His Word. The test of our relationship to God is our relationship to His Word. Our attitude towards God's Word is our attitude towards God. Now, I mean, that's just an absolute statement about the way things are. I mean, there isn't some ethereal revelation coming forth that there's something greater than the Word of God. If you don't love the Word of God, you'll never draw near to the Father, ever. You know, it's to the degree that we love the Word of God, and that's the acid test. That's what it comes down to. Proverbs 23:17 in the Amplified says, "Let not your heart envy sinners." This is a big one. "But continue in the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord all the day long." Now, this is an important one. Why? Because when we're a people who are seeking God, we're undergoing things. Things that people who aren't seeking God, don't undergo them. And you look out and you see somebody, you know, going through life, seems fine. They seem to be prospering. What is that? God calls us not to envy that position, because ultimately it's going to be exposed. What you sow is what you're going to reap. I don't care how good it looks right now. I don't care if there's thousands of people following you. The fact is, if you sow to the Holy Spirit, you're going to reap life and the love of God. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap death and corruption. And there's been no greater time in the history of mankind than right now, as far as darkness goes. Jesus said, "Take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness." He was referring directly to the last of the last hour. He knew it. He also said, "Will I find faith on the earth?" What an amazing, from the time, and this is something that's very important for each one of us to understand, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, these people, they didn't have a clue what was going on. He was already planting the seeds that would surely bring the glorious church to reality in the earth. He was talking about his kingdom already being set up, and the seeds that he was planting spoke of a time when people would not be under the influence of the spirit of the world, but under the spirit of God, and therefore walking with both feet in his kingdom. And we are the most, we're the most blessed generation to walk this earth. And it's not hard to see why either. We're going to see the fulfillment of every word that the prophet spoke, every word that Jesus spoke, every word that Paul wrote, and everybody else who wrote in the Word of God. Of course, with that comes great responsibility and accountability. But the fact is, we can read the Word now. We can read the words of Jesus, by the way, who is a type and symbol of perfect third-day ministry. He is it. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, that's a fact. So we can look at the words he spoke concerning the kingdom, and we can look at the words that he spoke concerning our attitudes, our motivations, and we can take them absolutely for exactly what he said, because the fulfillment of everything he spoke is now coming to pass. And we're getting a deeper revelation of the kingdom, and we're beginning to understand that these principles are absolute and that we're called to walk in them. And that's why we're going to gloriously walk above all the death and darkness that holds this world in such severe bondage. And people are going to be drawn to the love of God. Why? Because we're going to be a shining light. We're going to be a beacon on a hill. And that these are the spiritual realities of this age. We just have no clue how excellent it's going to be between now and the catching away of the church. And I one time the Lord spoke to me, and I mean, I knew we had to be acclimatized just to be in his presence. But he said, we're going to have to be acclimatized to experience all that he's going to pour out upon his glorious church and through, on and through. And the fact is, that's the truth. This is incomprehensible to the human mind. I'm fully convinced that without the renewing of the mind, without a revelation of the fact that we have the mind of Christ, it would shut down. I really believe that with the things that are going to happen between now and the time we're caught up out of here. Now, that's spiritual reality. Again, our job is to be ready to be acclimatized. And we'll not be moved even by the glorious things we see. We'll just continue on, faith to faith, glory to glory, obedience to obedience, and then ultimately spend forever in the presence of the Lord. So these are the types of things. Get our vision up. Don't get it on yourself. That's the only place from which the devil can work, if we get our eyes on ourselves. Okay. So we don't want to let our heart envy sinners. Don't look at people. My goodness, you know, if God has you look out on people, it's for the purpose of you praying for them into the fullness of what God has for them. But don't look at people and don't covet, don't do any of those things. That's foolishness. Like we could even contain the blessing God has for each one of us. No, we can't. The very nature of God is that when he blesses us, that blessing not only blesses us, the very residue of that blessing would bless us beyond our wildest comprehensions, but it's for the purpose of flowing forth upon those who cross our path in these days. That will become very evident in the days ahead. You know, whether you're speaking in front of a congregation, whether you're in the grocery store, it will become very evident in the days ahead from now on. So we're to continue in the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord all the day long. When you do that, it takes care of a lot of the other things. Part of walking that reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is to bring every thought captive to a revelation of His wisdom, His Word. Very, very important. In keeping our eyes fixed on the Word of God, we will be enabled or empowered to continually thrust aside the temptations and the lust or the desire for other things which are apart from God. Now, when you thrust something away from you, that's a little more violent than pushing that piece of pie about an inch away and hoping, you know, you won't succumb to that. No, thrusting right as far away as we possibly can. But it's a thrusting in the Spirit. Another thing that's very important, I don't like to deal with the negative, but I really believe that people need to have a revelation that fear, first of all, is foolishness in the sight of God, because there's no fear in Him. We're not supposed to be depending on anybody but Him anyways. But there's a much more serious element, and we're going to see these elements come into play in this last hour. The exercising of the force of fear actually is a blatant denial of the blood of Jesus. That is a serious thing. Because I can tell you, there is in no way will God fall short of honoring every last drop of blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. And part of it, this is part of coming against it. And we need to be a people who have a really holy and reverent fear of the blood of Jesus. Not only because of what He did, but because when we do, then we will have a revelation of the very power of that blood to effectually work in our lives day in and day out. It's very powerful. I mean, I remember when I started out, you know, I'd do something wrong and, 3 weeks, beating my head against the wall because of what I did. And eventually I got to the point where, you know, if you miss it, you by faith exercise, believing, trust in the blood of Jesus and the power of that blood, and it's gone. And I'm not making light of sin. I'm just saying we can't afford to be a people who are continually in condemnation and those types of negative things. Because that is a blatant denial of the blood of Jesus. Boy, see, these things are serious. And it's all coming down. Because God is going to judge according to His absolute standard. He's not going to judge according to the way that the denominational church doctrines are. He's going to judge according to the way He sees things and the way He declared things from the beginning. He's not left us in a corner darkly. I mean, we are even more blessed than many others. But, of course, with that comes the call to take this revelation to many other people. All right. Until the child of God truly inclines their ear toward the Word of God, they will never have a deep enough appreciation of Jesus Christ, who He really is, and what He really accomplished for us. And here's what He accomplished for us, and what He went through. Isaiah 53, in the Amplified, 3-5. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. A man would have stopped him right there. A man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sickness, sorrows, and pain of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole, or you might say holy. It is the urgent duty of every believer to learn and appropriate the fullness of their inheritance, which they have in Christ Jesus. For to settle for anything less is sin, and constitutes a blatant denial of the blood of Jesus Christ in the eyes of the Father. That's ultimately what the judgment will be on every child of God. And we will gloriously come through. Why? Because we're going to have that revelation. Because we're going to draw near to the Father and gain it. As the child of God comes to a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will see clearly the perfection of the work which was accomplished at Calvary. Again, we are going to see that. We are going to gain a much, much deeper revelation in our remaining time in this earth. And we're going to take that revelation to the masses. Isaiah 54:4 in the Amplified says, "Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed. Neither be confounded and depressed, for you shall not be put to shame." These are covenant promises. I would recommend that everybody meditate Isaiah 54. There's amazing covenant promises in there. Isaiah 54:14 to 17 says, "You shall establish yourself in righteousness, in conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far even from the thought of oppression or destruction." That's where we need to be. "For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord." It belongs to us. And to walk in anything less than that is to denigrate in some way the precious sacrifice that Jesus made at Calvary. These are the elements of spiritual reality that every child of God has to get a hold of. For too long, it's been a very, very weak faith that's been exercised for the most part in the church. But now God is raising up a group of people who are going to walk in an absolute faith. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 5-7 in the Amplified. Again, meditate on this. "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you watch over us. And we thank you, Father, that you're bringing us to this glorious path and this glorious end that you have for the glorious church. And we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.